One of the best political humorists and satirists in the world is Bill Melberg. You can learn about Bill at aneveningwiththepresidents.com. aneveningwiththepresidents.com. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Good morning.
Greetings, Earthlings. And best wishes to everyone listening to us on Connect FM at 93.5 and 95.3 or on the internet.
MyConnectFM.com.
Right.
Hey, Bill, we have a jam-packed agenda this morning. I hope you don't mind if we go straight to our first VIP guests.
Not at all, Stevie. By the way, who are your first VIP guests?
Well, we have former Presidents George H.W. Bush, number 41, and Bill Clinton with us once again to provide some more of their expert political analysis.
Well, give them my regards.
I certainly will, Bill. And now let's say good morning to Presidents George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton. Thank you, gentlemen, for once again being on with us.
Good morning, Stevie. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hello.
Gentlemen, President Obama will soon complete his first 2.5 years in office, and I thought we might take a look back at some of the things he had said during those first 2.5 years, in particular, some of his gaffes. Now, in fairness, I should mention that Barack Obama isn't the first person to misspeak. I don't want to embarrass either of you, so we won't play any of your whoppers, but here, as an example, are a few words from your former Vice President, President Bush, Dan Quayle.
Let me just tell you how thrilling it really is and what a challenge it is, because in 1988, the question is whether we're going to go forward to tomorrow or we're going to go past to the back. And I can tell you, listen, we don't want to go back to tomorrow. We want to move forward. I believe that I've made good judgments in the past, and I think I've made good judgments in the future. And the future will be better tomorrow. Well, Bobby Knight told me this. He says, there is nothing that a good defense cannot beat a better offense. In other words, a good offense wins. I was known as the chief grave robber of my state. I have a very strong record on the environment in the United States Senate.
Hawaii has always been a very pivotal role in the Pacific. It is in the Pacific, the part of the United States that is an island that is right here.
Former Vice President Dan Quayle, any comments, President Bush?
Davey, in fairness, I should mention that Dan Quayle was really a very bright young fellow. In fact, one day, just to disprove that popular image of him as a dummy, I turned to him during a cabinet meeting and said right out of the blue, Danny, name 2 days of the week that begin with the letter T. And without even thinking, he said, today and tomorrow.
President Clinton.
No comment, Stevie. If I did, you'd probably play some of the dumb things my vice president, Al Gore, used to say.
Well, there's no shortage of material in that department either, sir. And here's a very short example.
During my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative in creating the Internet. During my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative in creating the Internet.
Yeah, that was your former vice president, sir.
Invented the Internet.
Yeah, that's right. But let's move ahead to President Obama and some of his gaffes. What do you think President Obama was trying to say when he said the following?
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second, I can't hear myself, but I'm glad you're fired up, though. I'm glad.
That's President Obama. President Bush.
I'm glad you stopped the clip. I have no idea what he was trying to say. Don't think he did either.
President Clinton.
Stevie, I know exactly what President Obama was trying to say. He was trying to say,
My teleprompter isn't working.
I think you're right, sir. And now let's listen to another clip. What do you think President Obama meant when he said this?
Because, you know, it is just wonderful to be back in Oregon. And over the last 15 months, we've traveled to every corner of the United States. I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go. Alaska and Hawaii, I was not allowed to go to, even though I really wanted to visit, but my staff would not justify it.
President Bush, do you have a comment on this one?
Well, Stevie, maybe Dan Quayle didn't know how to spell potato, but he did know we have 50 states, not 57.
All right, President Clinton.
Stevie, if you can play that clip one more time, I think you'll discover that President Obama did not say that there are 57 states, despite the claims made by his critics and detractors that he did.
All right, let's hear that one more time then.
Because, you know, it is just wonderful to be back in Oregon, and over the last 15 months, we've traveled to every corner of the United States. I've now been in 57 states, I think one left to go. Alaska and Hawaii, I was not allowed to go to, even though I really wanted to visit, but my staff would not justify it.
President Clinton, I distinctly heard President Obama mention 57 states.
Well, that's right, Stevie. He said he had been to 57 states already, and he still had, quote, one left to go, unquote.
Yeah.
So President Obama... he thinks there's 58 states, which I think is one more reason the Democratic Party should have nominated Hillary 3 years ago.
All right, speaking of years, I think we have one more clip from President Obama talking about when the Constitution of the United States was written. Now, remember, he taught constitutional law.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited, too. Of the many responsibilities granted to a president by our Constitution, few are more serious or more consequential than selecting a Supreme Court justice. The members of our highest court are granted life tenure, often serving long after the presidents who appointed them. And they are charged with the vital task of applying principles put to paper more than 20 centuries ago.
20 centuries ago, that's 2,000 years, President Bush?
Stevie, Dan Quayle never would have made that mistake either, nor would my son, the President, President Bush number 43.
President Clinton?
Stevie, let me emphasize, Hillary never would have made that mistake.
Well, President Bush and President Clinton, I really appreciate it. We'll be looking at more of President Obama's record during these first 2.5 years in the weeks ahead. I hope you'll join us again and when we do that. And I want to thank you both again for being with us today. Thank you so much. Right now, we're going to turn to our regular point-counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat, Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, my friends. Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Gentlemen, we've been talking about presidential gaffes this morning. In particular, some of the things President Obama has said. Any comments?
Stevie, I've just heard your audio clips of President Obama talking about 57 states or 58 states, whatever he thinks the number is. And frankly, my friends, I can think of another choice the American people had 3 years ago besides Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. That choice would have been me. I never would have said anything that dumb.
Congressman Barney Frank, your response.
Well, Stevie, anticipating that Senator McCain would demonstrate a certain measure of disrespect toward President Barack Obama, I brought my own quip with me this morning, and I hope you'll demonstrate some fair and balanced coverage by playing it for us.
Yes, sir, I will. I have it here. We'll play it now.
In case I think you may have noticed that Senator Obama's supporters have been saying some pretty nasty things about Western Pennsylvania lately. You know, I couldn't agree with them more. I couldn't disagree with you I couldn't agree with you more than the fact that Western Pennsylvania is the most patriotic, most God-loving, most patriotic part of America. This is a great part of the country.
Senator McCain, you have the last word.
Stevie, it isn't what I said that counts. It's what I meant to say. And saying now what I meant to say then ought to be a reminder that agreeing to disagree is not something we look forward to in the future as we look backward into the past. And I hope that makes my message perfectly clear.
And I know that we just have a couple extra seconds. Senator Frank, would you like to comment on what he just said?
I have no idea what he just said. I mean, agreeing to disagree, looking forward to the future, looking backward into the past, that takes me back to the comments Vice President Quayle was making. And I never remember hearing Bobby Knight talking about all going forward into the past and past into the
Well, we want to thank you both, Senator John McCain, Congressman Barney Frank, for your very insightful contributions to this morning's conversation. We'll be back with Bill Melberg. He'll return with us right after these perfectly clear messages on perfectly clear, loud and clear, the new Connect FM. Now you have a choice. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We're back with political satirist and aerospace author and historian, Bill Melberg. And Bill, I'd like you to put on your aerospace historian's cap right now, if we could, as we take a couple of minutes to talk about the final flight of the space shuttle. What do they plan to accomplish on this mission, and where does America's space program go from here? Now what?
Well, Stevie and Diane.
Yes.
I've actually been watching NASA TV here during the past few minutes.
Not very many people watch NASA TV like Bill. He just watches it.
Just finished sealing up the hatch on Atlantis, so I assume that the weather is at least giving them a chance of getting off this morning. But STS-135, it's the 135th Space Shuttle mission, will carry a four-member crew, Commander Chris Ferguson, who will be making his third trip into space, Pilot Doug Hurley, who will be making his second trip, and mission specialists Sandra Hall and Rex Walheim, each of whom are making their third flights into space. Incidentally, this will be the 33rd flight for Atlantis, and of course, its last flight, and this will be the first time since the early shuttle test flights that only four astronauts are on the crew.
Why just four instead of the usual seven?
Stevie, since this is the last space shuttle mission and the other two space shuttles, Discovery and Endeavour, are already being prepared to go into museums, there won't be another shuttle available to rescue the Atlantis crew if the vehicle is damaged during their ascent. So it would be necessary to send up two Russian Soyuz spaceships with just two empty seats in each of those to return the four shuttle astronauts if that need were to arise.
Wow.
Kept the crew small.
Yeah, contingency plans here. And what's the purpose? What do they plan to do on this mission?
Well, since the space shuttles will no longer be available to bring up supplies and equipment to the International Space Station, Atlantis is bringing one last load of major supplies and spare parts to have on board the station. After all, NASA and its international partners are planning to operate the space station through 2020, maybe longer. Mm. So during that time, some very large parts could wear out or fail, and that's why Atlantis will be stocking the station with spares, sort of like taking a hardware store into space. Mm. And they'll also be bringing some worn-out parts and equipment back to Earth for analysis, and they won't be able to do that after this last flight.
Yeah, because we
don't have any means of bringing those things down anymore.
It's a head shaker. I don't quite understand. What about after Atlantis touches down? What's the future of America's manned space program?
In a word, uncertain. Mm. And when the Apollo program ended prematurely, President Nixon canceled three of the last Apollo flights. At least we had Skylab and Space Shuttle programs in the pipeline to take the place of Apollo. But when President Obama canceled the Constellation program last year, which would have taken American astronauts back to the moon and put a base on the moon, he didn't set any new goal other than to keep sending astronauts to the space station except aboard Russian rockets.
And the so-called commercial spaceships that President Obama envisions have nowhere near the capability of the space shuttles, and I think that's a national tragedy.
Well, I mean, so we're depending on Russia here. I mean, we have no capability after this, so we have to depend on flying with Russia?
Unfortunately, and they'll be able to set the price for the seats, which is now $50 million, but, you know, they can raise that to whatever they want. As Bob Crippen, who was the first shuttle pilot, said just a few days ago, and he's there this morning, by the way, said, I've never seen NASA as messed up as it is now.
That's a shame. All right, when will the commercial spaceships be available?
Well, maybe 5 or 6 years from now, if we're lucky. Hmm. But the term commercial is a misnomer because NASA's paying for the bulk of their development with taxpayer dollars. And again, they're just... Well, they're really not too much different from the Soyuz, so they aren't taking us anywhere except to the space station, and we're going backward, not forward.
I don't quite understand. I don't understand if you're going to change, the constellation and not go to the moon. Okay, but what's next? What are we doing? I mean.
Well, this is the reason that the shuttle was originally being retired was to make way for this constellation program because they needed to modify the facilities at Cape Kennedy. But after President Obama canceled Constellation, there was no need to retire the space shuttle.
Yeah.
And in fact, quite a large group of former astronauts like Neil Armstrong, Jim Lovell, Gene Cernan, Bob Crippen from the shuttle days, Chris Kraft, who was the flight director, Gene Kranz.
Yep.
They came out last week and said this is a safety issue. They wrote a letter saying, Mr. President, please keep the shuttles available.
Well, and they were built to go 100 missions, so they're retired way too early. If this is Atlantis's 33rd, I think you said. So.
And they've been operating better than ever. So unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Hey, I really appreciate that. Great insight. Diane, thanks so much for all your work.
Enjoy the day.
Bill, thank you. As always, you can learn about Bill Melberg at aneveningwiththepresidents.com. At aneveningwiththepresidents.com and aneveningwiththepresidents.com. I'm Stevie J. Thank you for listening. Meet you here Monday. Have a great and a safe weekend.